You're, I'm LJ.
What's cracking, y'all? It's Stevie Nicks.
And we're Knicks fans.
And welcome to Knicks Anonymous.
Myself, and I think we see Willis coming out.
Fast break to Walt Frazier. Frazier then slows it down. It's picked up by Jerry West at the top of the post. Three.
The New York Knicks.
Here's David Stern with the announcer.
First pick, select Patrick Ewing.
Bernard looking for 50, and he's got it. Back to back 50 point games for Bernard King.
Anthony for three.
Johnson cuts left, now fires a three, it is good, and he's fouled! It counts, and he is fouled!
Barrett drives down, this time finishes with authority.
Year, what it do, New York? Welcome back to another episode of...
Knicks Anonymous.
Episode...
71. We're almost there at the... We're almost at the milestone, 75. We still have to figure out if we're going to do something special... But I'm hyped about being there anyway. LJ, what do you think?
I'm extremely happy, man. Another good episode of Knicks Anonymous. We really got to get used to getting... We got to get back on track every Mondays. We've been slipping, but it's whatever because it's Summer League. So, not much to really talk about. Actually, forgetting we've been getting to the show, shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family.
Yeah, big shout out to y'all. We like the fact that y'all are interactive with us and... We would like more of y'all. With that being said, follow us at Knicks Anonymous on Instagram. Also, follow us at Anonymous Knicks. We're still Knicks Anonymous again. We're still Knicks Anonymous, but on Twitter, we're Anonymous Knicks. So follow us there at Anonymous Knicks. I like Twitter, by the way. Kind of have fun there. You could also find us on Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Breaker. If all else fails, you could always Google us at Knicks Anonymous, and we are the top search.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that, Steven. As usual, always almost like he writes it down. I don't know how he does it. Well, 71 episodes. I guess you'll know anything from the back of your head, pretty much. I said head, and I looked at my hand. Yo, but yeah. Shout out to everybody that was in the show last week. We did the... It was the anonymous question, but we named it different. I don't know if y'all remember. Only the OGs remember the anonymous question. Do you remember the anonymous question?
I damn sure do.
Nah, yeah, the anonymous question was dope. I might bring it back, but I think we brought it back as something different. I forgot. I got to look at the archives. But shout out to everybody who was on the show. Follow us on Instagram at Knicks Anonymous if you want to, because we always put polls, and even on Twitter we put polls where you could comment and leave your opinions and stuff like that. We ask you guys questions. Always fun. We love hanging out with you guys, chilling Knicks. You know how we do. So let's get into the episode, man. Episode 71. We have the end of Summer League. Donovan Mitchell rumors again. And what else?
And Russell Westbrook?
Question mark?
Yeah. We'll get into that in a second, but... You want to talk Summer League or you want to talk Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, so let's talk Summer League right now. So the New York Knicks have entered the finals.
Yeah. Fortunately, we lost. We finished the Summer League at 3-2. You know, congratulations to the Portland Trail Blazers. I guess they had our number. The Blazers had our number. The Blazers young guys had our young guys number. Overall, though, I can't lie. I like the I kind of hate the fact that we lost, but I like the comeback effort.
No, I just wanted to add, like, I don't think they had everybody's number. I think they had Grimes' number. I'm not gonna lie, because it seemed like Grimes was the entire Summer League franchise. No disrespect to Deuce or anybody, but Grimes was just lighting up the floor like nobody's business. I think he averaged like 22 points.
24. Well. I think his average went below 24 because of that last game. But before that last game, he was averaging 24.
Yeah, so, you know, and what, like 8 assists? Or 4 assists?
4 assists, 4 boards, and I think 2 steals. He had it before the Blazers game, the championship game. Those were his averages. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, so let me get into what I like real quick. So, my watch was, what's his name, Trevor Keel? Trevor Keels. Trevor Keels. that was my go-to. I guess he did expect it. He did it as expected, as what an 18-year-old would do. He really ain't do much, to be honest. But he did sign with the Westchester Knicks, so he would be down in the G League getting that work in. But like I said in the other episode, he's more of like a project. You know, we got him early. We're gonna start him at 18, build him up, and you know, see where he goes. You know, who are you watching for mostly in the summer league?
Aside from Grimes, I guess I was watching... Actually, you know what? Let me not say who I was watching. I'll say who I was impressed by. I was most impressed by Jericho Sims. Yes, we all love Grimes, but aside from him, I saw a lot from Sims. I saw a lot of running down the floor, a lot of great defense. Again, he has to work on those free throws. But I was loving what I was seeing, man. It looks like he's gunning for minutes. And if he keeps this up, he's going to get it. I hope he does. And Deuce did good as well. He did as expected. He ran the point well. He didn't turn the ball over that much. Great defense as usual. Our big three rookies stuck out. Well, when I say rookies, our big three second year guys stuck out. So, you know, big shout out to them. Unfortunately, we didn't win the chip. But the positive is they all played very well throughout the summer league.
And another big name that we haven't talked about either yet, or we have in previous episodes, but Ferron Hunt. Ferron Hunt killed in this summer league. And he's actually one of our oldest guys in summer league. I believe he's 24 years old. So I don't know where he may go after this, but he definitely seemed of use. And the spot that I see him taking is Reddish's. That's just my opinion. I mean, what do you think on Ferron Hunt? How do you think he did in the summer league?
He showed out. I don't think he did as well as being able to take Reddish's spot. That depends on what happens. You know what I mean? Could be possible. But I see a G League spot in his future. You know what I mean? He, at least for this season, I could see him as like an emergency injury replacement. A lot of guys get into the league like that, so don't sleep. You know what I mean? Some guys come in, and that's how they end up staying in the league, whether he stays with the Knicks or not. You know what I mean? He can show out and somebody else might be impressed. But that's what I see for him. You know what I mean? He still has a chance. If he shows out at training camp, you never know. He could probably take a roster spot. You know what I mean? It's a 15-man roster. So he's wait and see for me. But I actually like what I saw from him, in all honesty. I really did.
Yeah, and you also mentioned Jericho Sims. We're going to get to Grimes, folks. Don't you worry. We just want to leave him for last because he was the obvious... Like, you know, the obvious guy who did it. So, but Jericho Sims, definitely most improved for me as well. He completely looks like a completely different player. He looks more comfortable. He looks stronger. Looks more confident. The fact that he's turning and facing and obviously being a threat, more of a threat than he was last year, is amazing. His defense, he steps on guards almost at full court. You know what I mean? Pretty much he's his lateral quickness is OD. He plays like a Draymond Green, a faster Draymond Green, if you ask me, to be honest. That's my comparison. Maybe it's going all out, but I could definitely see Jericho, maybe without the jump shot, I can see Jericho Sims' game running as like a Draymond kind of player. Like, maybe besides the assists and the shooting, in terms of the defensive effort and like his play style. I could be bugging. I don't know. Am I?
Nah, I don't think so. As far as defense go, I don't think you're bugging. He just has to work. If he works on his passing and shooting, then definitely I can see a Draymond Green type player, because he has the defense already. I don't know if I could say he's a better shot blocker than Draymond at this moment, but he could be. Give him a year or two, because the guy was, he altered a, I don't think he blocked a lot of shots in the summer league, but he altered a lot. He caused a lot of missed shots. And that's just as good as a block. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see that in the stat sheet, but that's just as good as a block. If you order somebody's shot that they miss it, especially if it's usually an easy shot, it's good as a block to me, you know. But, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not something people see on the stat sheet. Most people don't look for it. But we're a basketball podcast, so we got to look at stuff like that. You know what I mean? And Jericho Sims, I got a bright future, man. I really don't have, as I said, free throws, passing. He works on that, the guy, and shooting as well. He works on that, bright future.
Yeah, definitely a bright future, man. Definitely most improved. Shout out to Jericho Sims for putting in all that work in this offseason. He's really proving that he wants to be here. You know what I mean? So good job, Sims. Moving to Deuce. Deuce did very well running the point. His defense only gotten better, in my opinion. He had a lot of steals. I think one game he almost had like four. I don't know which game, but it was probably with the Bulls. But the first two games, we smacked around those teams. I can't even lie. Summer League started off pretty fun, and then the Blazers came in and just fucked it up. But that's besides the point. Deuce McBride definitely did good. Some things I want him to improve on more is his confidence. He's a little unsure sometimes, but I guess that goes with experience. Other than that, he did phenomenal. He did exactly what Deuce is supposed to do, and I think he's definitely breaking the roster, right?
Oh yeah. He's definitely. I think he got the backup point guard spot on lock. This might sound weird for me to say, and it's not for me to wish bad on Jalen Brunson because I want him to do well. He does well. That's great. We're a playoff team, or at least we're pushing for a playoff team. But I want to see Deuce play so well that we think, should we start him? You know, at least the thought comes into our mind. Like, this guy looks like a starter. You know, like, I want to see Deuce play that well, and I think he can. And it's mostly because of his defense. Like, his defense, like, nothing wrong with his offense. He's a pretty good offensive player. But his defense is his butter. You know what I mean? That's the offense is his guns. The defense is his butter. So I want to see him cause a point guard controversy. And not to the point that it's bad and they're beefing with each other. Like, just, like, that's something that we look at. Like, yo, this guy's a starter, baby. Like, you know, we got to alter this lineup a little bit. Maybe do a Brunson-Deuce backcourt. I mean, You can't say that's a bad idea, Knicks fans. We're literally trying to trade for another 6'1 guard. Just saying.
It's funny because the controversy could actually be his downfall in a way.
Why you say that?
Because that could actually potentially get him traded.
That would up his value though and bring us a good player.
It would. But would you rather keep him or trade him if he got that good?
If it was up to me, I want to see how good he can be.
But that kind of it's fucked up because we gave Brunson so much money, so it would be kind of hard to keep him. Because we already kind of invested so much in Brunson.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't want to see Brunson do bad. Good point guard, in my opinion. I just want to see Deuce do real good. I want him to get a fair shot. Even if it's for the main backup point guard position, which I think he has on lock already.
He definitely has potential. He showed much growth this year. Like I said, he just needs to work on his decision-making. He doesn't really know when to shoot pass, kind of. He's still figuring it out. That's something quickly he actually had trouble with his rookie year, too. He really didn't know the difference between the when to score, when to pass. And he quickly evolved into a pretty good backup point guard. So our depth is pretty much elite. So let's get to the talk of the town here. Our boy, Quentin Grimes, a.k.a. the Flamethrower. He averaged 24 points, like we said, about 4 assists, and probably about, I'll say, 3 to 5 rebounds. I don't know how much rebounds. 4? 4 rebounds? There you go, 4 rebounds. That's pretty impressive stat line. Some would say Summer League was almost too easy for Grimes. I genuinely believe he should have got the MVP. Some came from the Sacramento Kings, got the MVP, but he did make the first team for the Summer League, correct, Stevie?
Yes, sir, he did. Congratulations to Keegan Murray for winning the MVP. But Grimes deserving it more is arguable. I won't deny that because Grimes is pretty impressive. Yeah, he made the All-Summer League first team. It was Quentin Grimes, Terry Eason, Sandro. How the hell do you pronounce this guy's name? Sandro Mamukelashvili. So I did the best I could. But that guy was killing not for nothing for the Bucks. I think he's a center. Keegan Murray and Cam Thomas from the Brooklyn Nets. And to refresh y'all memory, Cam Thomas was the guy who hit that shot off the backboard, the 3. The buzzer beater, I think it was, this season. Yeah, Cam Thomas was that guy. He made the All-Summer League. Congratulations to him. And still screw Brooklyn. I don't want to say the F word. I'm trying to clean my language up. But screw that guy.
Yeah. I guess we're keeping it rated G as much as we possibly can, to be honest here, next anonymous, but we do like to keep it raw every now and then. Shout out to everybody in the summer league. Shout out to the Trailblazers. You know, I'm a man of sportsmanship. I give them their kudos, their credits. They definitely they brought it to the Knicks. If anything, they kind of helped us see what we needed to work on in a way. You know what I mean? And I think what we needed to work on, what the Trailblazers really had good going with them, is their continuity. They really knew how to move the ball well to each other. They had a good chemistry going on. So shout out to that. And I feel like the Knicks should probably work on their switching and communicating. And yeah, honestly, that's it. Their communication skills will come with the more times they play with each other. So if that's our only problem, to be honest, I say we're in good hands going forward into the season.
Agreed. The one thing I don't like, though, and we're about to get into the Mitchell rumors, is that if we do get Mitchell, kind of kills my hot take of Quentin Grimes being the starting shooting guard. It kind of sucks, but, you know. With that being said, let's talk about Donovan Mitchell. I guess for starters, I'll start by saying the latest offer that we have seen. And I'm sure you've all seen it, and I'm sure we could all agree that that's laughable. What do you think? Is that all? You know what? I'll tell you the offer. It's Quentin Grimes, Deuce McBride, Obi Toppin, Emmanuel Quigley. I think it was the fifth player. I forgot. Or was it those four? I think it's those four and six picks. What do you think about that, LJ?
Not funny. Funny weird. You know what I mean? Shout out to the people who watch TikTok. That's for y'all people out there. But yeah, funny weird. That's not funny as like in a joke. It's definitely funny weird. I'm going to give it a hard pass. That's way too much. When we said that we weren't going to give up RJ, that didn't mean we had to give up the rest of the team. You know what I mean? It just meant we didn't want to give up RJ. We don't want to give up the whole roster for this guy. He's nice, but he is not super duper trade nice. You know what I mean? Because look what the guys we have now. The young kids we have now, they could potentially surpass Mitch in 2 or 3 years if you want to wait that long. If you want results now, you'll go with Donovan Mitchell. But if it cost us our entire future, I don't want it.
Yeah. Not for nothing. Not to bring the network into it. I call ESPN the network now. But
fuck ESPN.
They actually had a point about Donovan Mitchell today. Check this out. I don't know if you saw it earlier, Al, but they were Keyshawn Johnson and Kendrick Perkins. I was going to say Kendrick Lamar. And Kendrick Perkins were talking about if Donovan Mitchell is a guy to build around. Kendrick Perkins argued no. And he named other players that you can build around, and he argued that he had good players over the years in Utah and still didn't accomplish anything. They won playoff series, so I wouldn't say they didn't accomplish anything, but they didn't go, you know, make the conference finals, do the ultimate goal. And he named players such as Gobert, Bogdanovic, Ingles, and you know, for once I actually think Kendrick Perk, I don't always agree with him, but I think he may have a legit point here.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to lie. I definitely agree with Perkins on that one. A good role model is RJ Barrett. All right. RJ Barrett is somebody you can build around because he's a two-way player. He's great offensively, and he's only getting better defensively. Donovan Mitchell cannot play defense. He cannot play defense. He is an offensive juggernaut, but he cannot play defense, and that's a problem. That's somebody he's support. You know what I mean? He's somebody where you need an offense that's struggling and you need buckets. You got to get somebody like him. And then the defense will revolve around, you know, him, you know, and trying to help his weaknesses. The Knicks are good the way we are now because everybody is a two-way player. Quentin Grimes, he's offense. Yeah, shaky on defense, but getting better. Deuce, point guard, offense, good. Defense, good. Quickly, defense is getting there. His offense is good. RJ Barrett, his defense is great. We put him on everybody's best player, and his offense is great. Randall, questionable offense, but there. Defense, questionable defense, but also there. Everybody plays defense on the Knicks. And you're forced to because of the coach that everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have problems with. Well, guess what? That coach is the reason why your team is playing defense. So I think Kendrick Perkins is correct.
Yeah, I never thought I would say that. Kendrick Perkins was correct. And here's the players he named, actually, just so people could have context about it. You build around guys like Luka. Donovan Mitchell is not in the same league as him. You know, LeBron, or young LeBron. Not LeBron now. KD, same thing. Young KD, not KD now. Who else? Who else? Who else do you build around? Damn. Jokic. You build around Jokic. I'm losing it off the top of my head.
You could build around Embiid. You can build around Towns. You can build around Zion. Everybody hates Zion. I do not like Zion, but it's the truth. You can build around Zion. He's definitely that player. You can build around Ja Morant. You know,
I think right now Donovan Mitchell is on the level of Ja Morant as far as guys to build around. I would say he's on that level. I'm not saying he's better than Ja Morant. I think at this point, Ja Morant is a better player than Donovan Mitchell, and he just came into the league. That's how good he is. But, yeah. And it's not downing Donovan Mitchell. I think he would improve the Knicks. He would make us a playoff team. I really think he would. But the reason he's not the guy that would get us to the championship hump and he'd be a piece is the defense, like you said. That's what would hold us back in this instance. So I say at this point, with what they're asking for, the Knicks should not. We should back. I think they are doing this. But if they're not, just in case, my suggestion is the Knicks should back down for now. We do not want to let Danny Ainge set the market. If Danny Ainge sets the market, you're gonna get an insane trade. So what Knicks have to do is, and this might be crazy, you have to sit back, let other teams make offers. So Danny Ainge can see what they have to offer is nothing compared to what we have. And we can actually meet each other down the middle. Because the only teams I see in competition to get Donovan Mitchell, the Miami Heat, personally, and the Brooklyn Nets. They could do an even KD. And I always say that. I don't know why they're not thinking about that. Do an even KD and Donovan Mitchell swap. But that's most likely because KD don't want to go to Utah. Like, nobody wants to go to Utah. And that's no disrespect to the Utah Jazz, because that's a very well-run and well-coached organization. But that's just not a player's dream destination. That's why the Jazz always have to build through the draft. And somehow, they always end up doing well. But, yeah, I guess that's my thoughts on that from now. We should back down and not let Danny Ainge set the market.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree. I think we should just, like what you said, just wait it out, see what they want. I think the biggest problem with Mitchell is how much. If we were the first team to talk, they would try to really lowball. What's the opposite of lowball?
Not shit. I understand what you're trying to say. I don't know the word. Damn.
I'm gonna say highball.
We'll run with that.
I'm going to say highball. If they highball us, you know what I mean? If we're the first to talk, because we have the assets to do it. Everybody talks about, the Knicks have the only assets. Knicks have assets. Thunder has access, right? You know,
But he's not going to go to the Thunder. That's why I didn't even mention them, honestly.
They have the assets, but, you know, everyone's talking about the Knicks got the assets, whatever. I say we wait, because even like we were talking about downstairs, a team... Like Pat Riley, he might just try to make it hard. If we speak first, he might try to make it hard for us just because.
Yeah, Pat Riley strikes me as a guy who will throw in a bid. And the Jazz would be like, okay, the Heat threw us a good this bid. Can you beat that? Pat Riley's that kind of GM. You know how everybody hates Danny Ainge? Apparently, everybody in the league hates Danny Ainge from what I read. I assume Pat Riley's in second place. Because, like, that guy knows how to GM. He's not just one of the greatest coaches ever, but Pat Riley can GM. And you know what? I kind of lost my track of thought there. Sorry.
And he was a Knick.
that's where I was going with that. Okay.
And he was a Knick, one of the greatest teams of all time. You know what I mean? So, hey, not to say there's bad blood, but it's always fun to do it against a rival, and in his sense, I guess, is we're his rival, you know what I mean, in a fun, well, not in a fun way, obviously, because it's business, but, like, in, you know, in a competition way, he's just a competitor. It just is what it is. Unfortunately, we're on the opposite end of the stick. So, we are nowhere, we are, the Knicks aren't, we don't have leverage. I feel like everybody talks about the Donovan Mitchell trade with too much of a grain of salt. We need to see the Donovan Mitchell trade with a whole, like a whole packet of salt. We need to see the entire packaging. You know, we don't have leverage here. We're at their mercy. You know what I mean? We have to know they're gonna ask us what do we have for them, not what you have for us. You know what I mean? So it might outweigh. You know what I mean? Who knows? Same thing with Melo. You know, Melo was great. He took us to the Eastern Conference Finals. But once he left, we had nothing because we traded the entire team with him. So, you know.
Yeah. Actually, we came up short the Eastern Conference Finals. Remember, the Pacers ruined that. It's all good, though. But I disagree. I actually think we have all the leverage. They want what we have. That's why they're asking for that. We're not giving it to them. So what they're going to do is they're going to go to somewhere else and see that they don't have what we have. Again, the only team that has what we have is OKC. And OKC is trading for Donovan Mitchell. They got their own little thing going on over there. What they got going on is pretty cool. I can't even lie. But I disagree. We have all the leverage in the world, bro. That's why we can't wait this out. And if it just so happens we lose out on Donovan Mitchell, I don't think it would be a disaster in any way. Yeah, some other team will get better and, you know, potentially be a contender, but still, bro, we have a good thing going. I don't think we're at the Jazz's mercy. You know, we'd be at their mercy if we made this trade. If we did this dumbass trade that was asked, then yeah, we would be at their mercy, and we'd definitely be at the mercy of NBA media and pretty much worldwide media. Wondering why we gave up all the assets we built for one guy who might not even get us to the promised land.
So, you mentioned dumbass moves. So, let's talk about a non-dumbass move. You said something about Russell Westbrook and a three-team trade and getting Mitchell the smart way. So, go ahead and put the people on about that.
Oh, it wasn't a three-team trade. The rumor was, okay. I said a mega trade. It kind of sounds like it's building toward a mega trade with this Westbrook rumor coming in. Because supposedly what's going on is, hypothetically speaking, should the Knicks get Donovan Mitchell, they'll trade Randle for Russell Westbrook and make Westbrook a buyout candidate. So basically we'd be doing this trade to get Randle's contract off the books, and we'd buy out Westbrook and make him a free agent. And I think that's a smart move, believe it or not, because we get Westbrook off the books, because we would buy him out. Yeah, exactly. But we also would get Randle off the books as well. He'd be on the Lakers. You know, he could thrive. I think he'd thrive over there as a third option with you'd have LeBron, AD, you move AD to center, have Randle play power forward. That might work. And they boys, too. I don't know if you noticed, but when we played the Lakers, Randle and Anthony Davis was kind of going at it. They both Kentucky boys. So, yeah, there's something there. I think they would get along. So, that might work. That might work for Randle. And for us, more salary space, which means we could bring in somebody next summer to potentially form a little big three should the Donovan Mitchell trade happen. I like it. I know it's just a rumor, but I like it.
So, are we buying? So, we're not buying Westbrook out for Mitchell.
No. This would happen if we make the Mitchell trade. So, this only happens if that goes down. At least according to what I read. So, go ahead.
Nice. So the Mitchell trade is. So, the Mitchell trade comes first. Then we buy Westbrook. We buy out Westbrook to get rid of Randle, to then clear up that space to get somebody else to complement Mitchell and RJ, right?
That would be the long-term plan. Yeah, it wouldn't happen this year, obviously, because I don't think there's nobody in free agency that would bring us over the top now. I don't know next year's free agency list off the top of my head. I will look into it after the show, just so we could bring it up next year and hypothetically talk about the possibility should this go down. But yeah, that would be the long-term plan should it happen.
So this, it's been going on for a while, right? The Mitchell rumors. It's obviously a negotiation right now. How long do you think till we get a definite answer? Do you think we're going to get it before the season, during the season, or after the season?
Damn, that's a good question.
Because I feel like it's been talked about a lot. Like, and now, especially with that whole Brooklyn thing that's surfing around, the Cyclone, was it the Cyclones? The Brooklyn Cyclones? And, you know, they, at the game, they were all, what were they chanting? Go New York, go New York, go to Donovan Mitchell as he was throwing out the first pitch. So at this point, it's kind of like I don't know. Maybe the New York media is just hyping it up as usual. But Mitchell loves it. He's laughing and shit. It looks like he really wants to come to New York. So obviously it's in negotiation, obviously. But when do you think the gun will be shot?
I don't know, man. Like I said, that's a good question. I would assume it's either gonna happen right before the season starts. I would assume during training camp or a little bit before training camp, or next summer. I don't think it'll happen during the deadline. Matter of fact, no, I'm lying. Actually, it would, because they're in rebuild mode. So they're going to try to get rid of him to get whatever assets they could. But that all depends on how the market goes. Like I said, we should back out for now and see what other teams have to offer. And like I said, other teams don't have what we have. They really don't. And the ones that do, you know, he's not trying to go over there. You know, so as I said, the Knicks have the leverage, man, for once. We're actually in the driver's seat. We don't have to rush into nothing. This isn't the Melo trade. You know, if this was the regime back then, we would have pulled the trigger. You know what I mean? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think this trade would have been happened before he even got rumored.
Yeah, and that's why I like this regime. It's not a... I won't call it a regime that did the Melo trade dumb, because they went all out. They got their man. Unfortunately, it just didn't go the way we thought it would. And things happen. Whatever.
So yeah, so I honestly agree with you. Yeah, we're definitely in the driver's seat. First time in a long time, Knicks have actually been in charge, honestly, of their own destiny. And the good thing about this, like you said, it doesn't matter what we do, whether we get him or not, we're still in good hands. I guess the only one that everybody's still shaky about is Randle and Fournier. Fournier did better last towards the end of the season. So did Randle a little bit. But obviously, everybody, you know, Randle has left a big fat footprint in the snow that he can't really get rid of, unfortunately. And I don't blame the people of New York. We all saw what happened. Yes, it wasn't a dumpster fire, but it was bad. It wasn't good. I would be lying to you to say if it was, but it wasn't. But I think Randle will, if we decide to keep Randle, it would definitely be obviously for the good. Why would we want to do anything for the bad of the team, to be honest? Randle is an average 19 player, plus with Brunson, his role would actually decrease in terms of the point forward. He wouldn't have to bring up the ball anymore, and that's what was causing him all those turnovers. He was bringing up the ball, he was doing everything. We didn't have a point guard. Now we have somebody to control shit and tell him where to go instead of him telling everybody else where to go. And he could still play his game just through Brunson, so he doesn't have to do as much. So I believe his turnovers will probably go from 4 to 2, even 2.5, which is still but better than 4. You're having 4 turnovers in the NBA, that's pretty fucking bad. And I think Randle's scoring would actually go up. Brunson's going to help a lot of people on the Knicks. He's gonna open up the floor for RJ. He's going to open the floor for Randle. He's going to open up the floor for Grimes. He's going to open the floor for himself. He's going to open the floor for everybody. He's going to open the floor for Leon Rose if he has to.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year, man. Can't wait for it to start. That's all I have, honestly speaking.
So I think that concludes episode 71. I know Knicks Anonymous family, I know these episodes have been short, but bear with us. We are only reporting with what we can. We love you guys. Thank you for always supporting us. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for following. Thank you for liking. We love you guys. We are the people's voice.
And we are nothing without the people. And keep being interactive, man. Everybody that DMs us to talk Knicks, keep on. You know, if we don't answer, we apologize. We will answer as soon as we can. You know, we have jobs and stuff like that. You know, we've been kind of vacationing lately. That's why we've been a little low on posts. Apologies. But we do pay attention to the news. That's why every time we come on Knicks Anonymous and do an episode, we got our shit together. So it's not like we're not paying attention.
And with that being said, dab it up. Episode 71 in the books. We'll see you guys next week. Let's go Knicks.
Yeah, yeah.